Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Beautiful Wednesday, December 4th. Underway, and it's going to continue to be beautiful. Highs of 68 today. And right now, we have warmed up to about 52 degrees around the area, if you average the temperatures. Of course, you know, as we spoke about last half hour, the impeachment inquiry was released, and today the House Judiciary Committee takes up the issue of impeachment. I believe it's today. I got so many papers in front of me. Keith Whittington joins us, professor of politics at Princeton University, author of Repugnant Laws, Judicial Review of Acts of Congress from the Founding to the Present. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning.
The title of the book intrigues me. Tell me about that.
So it is a history of how the Supreme Court has interacted with Congress all across its history, and both the laws that have been upheld against constitutional challenge as well as those that have been struck down.
So let's talk about the Senate. Today's going to be in the House, I understand that. But
yes,
if they return, is it a true bill? What do you call it? Take us through what the Constitution says, the nomenclature, whatever it is. What today, if the House Judiciary, not today, but after they hear their witnesses, and it would seem to be a foregone conclusion, recommends impeachment, what happens then?
Yeah, it would be a surprise at this point if the House doesn't impeach, but they're not quite there yet. They're in the process of developing articles of impeachment. Eventually, that will require a majority vote on the House floor to approve a set of specific articles. That's similar to a grand jury indictment. It lists a set of allegations and charges against the president. That will then be carried over to the Senate. The Senate will receive those articles of impeachment and then announce that there will be the beginning of a trial. They'll inform the president that he has been impeached and that the Senate has received articles of impeachment, ask the president to send legal advocates to provide for his defense. They'll inform the Chief Justice of the United States that the president has been impeached and ask him to come preside over the trial, and then they'll get started.
Maybe, because that all depends on what kind of hardball Mitch McConnell wants to play, right?
To some degree. So the current Senate rules indicate that the Senate will begin a trial as soon as the articles are received. It would be possible for the Senate to decide not to proceed with a trial, but I don't think McConnell could do it on his own, given the existing Senate rules. And McConnell's indicated that he can't do it on his own. But if the majority of senators are willing to go on record in order to cut a trial short, they could do that.
Would it be of benefit to the Republicans if McConnell said, no, we're not going to have a trial, or would that hurt them with independents who would say, well, at least let the process play out?
I think that's part of what they're still trying to figure out. I think that the Republicans have now made the calculation that they ought to at least give a hearing to the House and the evidence that would hurt them electorally to not have something that looks like a trial. I think the bigger challenge for them at this point is trying to think about how extensive that trial can be. That, again, is up to the majority of the senators as to how much time they want to give, how open they want the trial to ultimately be. And so they could try to limit both sides to a very restrictive set of evidence and arguments and witnesses, or they could open it up, in which case the president's lawyers could, for example, want to interview Hunter Biden in the floor of the Senate. And I think the Republicans are still trying to figure out whether that would be in their best interest to do that, or they'd rather have a short trial.
Could Hunter Biden be forced to testify?
The Senate does allow both sides to subpoena witnesses to appear at the Senate to participate in the trial, and that goes for both the House, which will send managers to prosecute the case, as well as for the president's own attorneys. So both sides will get an opportunity potentially to subpoena new witnesses. So one thing the senators have to think about is whether they would prefer to, for example, restrict the trial just to the current record, really just allow the House to introduce the materials they already have. That would also restrict what the defense could do. Or do they want to open up and allow the House, for example, to subpoena Rudy Giuliani to come testify to the Senate?
And they always have the right, I presume, even in an impeachment trial, invoke the Fifth Amendment if they want?
They could. They could. Of course, the senators will make whatever assessment seems appropriate to them if somebody does try to invoke the Fifth Amendment. But you could have people doing that. It's a little more controversial as to whether or not anyone could invoke executive privilege, for example, in order to refuse to divulge things that occurred in the White House. Experts disagree. It's, I think, unclear whether the majority of the senators would accept an executive privilege claim as preventing somebody from testifying. But again, that'd be up to the majority of senators to decide.
Professor, I got to take a break for traffic and we'll pick it up here when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Keith Winnington, professor of politics at Princeton University, author of Repugnant Laws, Judicial Review of Acts of Congress from the Founding to the Present. It is 8:51, 9 before 9. That's time for traffic here on WWL. We're talking to Keith Winnington, professor of politics at Princeton University, author of Repugnant Laws, Judicial Review of Acts of Congress from the Founding to the Present. I presume that's available at all the usual outlets, Keith?
Absolutely.
All right. So before we get to the actual process, you know, I could think politically how there could be an advantage with independents, at least as far as the Senate goes, with having a trial for the president, be it sham or not. And then at the end, they can say, look, he was impeached. We tried him. He did nothing wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that it's worth bearing in mind that the impeachment process, both in the House and also ultimately in a Senate trial, is very much a political event. And part of what both sides are playing to is the American people and the voters at the end of the day. And so I think both the Democrats in the House bringing the impeachment forward, but also the president's defenders are trying to calculate not only what's going to persuade senators, although that seems mostly a foregone conclusion at this point, but also what's going to persuade the American people that the whole thing makes sense, and also what they ought to do in the 2020 elections. And the Republican senators have to think about how much of a trial do they need in order to satisfy voters that the president has been adequately investigated and that all sides have been heard before a decision gets made.
Yeah, and another branch of government, Supreme Court's involved in this as well, correct?
In the sense that the Chief Justice sits as the presiding officer, the president has sometimes suggested that he could appeal either the House Articles of Impeachment or maybe even a Senate verdict to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has previously indicated that they don't want to take those kinds of cases, think this is outside the scope of their responsibilities. I think that's extraordinarily unlikely that the court itself would intervene. But the Chief Justice does sit as the presiding officer of the Senate for the purpose of the trial. But his role there is pretty limited. All he can really do is make initial rulings on motions from both sides, but ultimately he can be overruled by the senators if they disagree with how he's running the trial.
And that's what I was going to ask. If the Senate makes the rules, why is he even there? Because it's going to come down to what they want anyway, right?
His role is pretty limited. He can set the tone in part. And so both, I think, Chief Justice William Rehnquist in the Clinton impeachment and also Chief Justice Chase during the Andrew Johnson impeachment just after the Civil War, both helped set the tone to emphasize that this is not a purely political process, but is also a legal process. There are rules at stake. I think Chief Justice Rehnquist took a little more of a hands-off attitude to how he approached the trial. Chief Justice Chase was a little more aggressive in a assertive in how he ran that trial. But in both cases, it's ultimately up to the Senate. And I suspect Roberts will be more like Chief Justice Rehnquist and be a little hands-off.
With all of your education, all of your experience, is there any way the president winds up getting convicted in this scenario?
It seems extraordinarily unlikely. The senators don't seem to be moving. The public opinion doesn't seem to be moving. I think at this point we're going to get an acquittal.
Professor, I appreciate your time. I hope you come back on with us.
My pleasure. Happy to.
Thank you, sir. Keith Whittington, professor of politics, Princeton University, author of Repugnant Laws, Judicial Review of Acts of Congress from the Founding to the President. That's That's available at all the usual outlets. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Senate in the first half hour, and then what is the deal with the Algiers ferry?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.